probably been involved in a situation, maybe a Sunday school picnic or something like that. They played a game that's called the three-legged race. It's a game where they tie two people together, their legs together anyway, and then these people try to run as if they were one person. In the game, if the two people whose legs are tied together are about the same height and the same speed, it works out pretty well. But if the two people are of different heights and different athletic ability, the results are different. Instead of running smoothly and quickly, these two people may stumble and fall. One ends up dragging the other person along. And end up with one person just kind of carrying the whole load. In fact, the results of the three-legged race are often quite humorous. Now, in this game, the two people are only tied together for a short time. And then they separate and go their own ways. In this game, it's not too bad to be tied together with someone who's not your equal because it's only a game. And it's only for a short time. But imagine what it would be like to be tied to someone for the rest of your life who was clumsy and awkward. Someone who was quite different. Someone with whom you shared very little in common. In that case, it wouldn't be humorous. It would be disastrous. Well, that's the picture of what's happening in many marriages. In marriage, God's plan is that two people would become one flesh, which means that two people are to be comprehensively and completely sharing with one another in every area of life. God wants them to be one in the cognitive or thought area of life, in the social and relational area of life, in the emotional area, in the area of work, in the spiritual area, in the physical and sexual area, in the area of values and goals, in the familial area, in the area of facing difficulties and trials. God's intention is that the husband and wife should live in harmony, cooperate, support, work as a team, travel in the same direction. But in many marriages, this is not the case. Instead, in many marriages, you have two people who seem to be pulling in two different directions. You find two people who are not in sync. You find two people who seem to be joined together in what the Bible calls an unequal yoke situation. Now, the phrase unequal yoke is borrowed from the realm of agriculture. In agriculture, a yoke was a piece of equipment that was used to bind two animals together for the purpose of pulling a plow or a wagon. The purpose of the yoke was to make sure that the load they were pulling was evenly distributed. And this arrangement worked out quite well if the animals were the same size and strength and disposition. But such was not the case if one of them was small and the other large, one was docile and the other was rambunctious, one was strong and the other was weak. Then they would be unequally yoked, and it would be very distressing to the animals and to the farmer who was trying to get something done. Now, this kind of thing is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 10, where Moses warns against having an ox and a donkey yoked together for plowing. He says, don't do it! In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul is referring and using this imagery when he warns against being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 indicates that he's referring to much more than the marriage relationship. But the instructions he's giving would certainly include the marriage relationship, which is the closest and most influential and significant of all human relationships. And that brings us to the question, who are we referring to when we speak of an unequal yoke situation? Well, when we apply 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17 to the marriage relationship, it's clear that the most obvious application would be to a situation where you have a believer married to an unbeliever. In this case, you have two people who are unequally yoked in terms of one person being committed to Jesus Christ and the other not committed to Christ. You have one person who's interested in spiritual things and another who's not. You have one person who's interested in reading the Bible and praying and the other isn't. You have one person being interested in making Christ the center of his or her life and the other doesn't want to do that. You have one person being interested in making the Bible the standard by which you evaluate what's right and wrong, what you should do, what you should not do, and the other is not willing to use the Bible as the standard. One person being interested in giving of their substance to the church and the other doesn't want to do that. One person being interested in raising their children the way God wants them to be raised and the other really isn't interested in that. Now 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 and 1 Corinthians 7:39 make it clear that an unmarried Christian should not marry an unbeliever. And if they do, they will be disobeying God's word. And they will most likely be putting themselves in a situation where they will face great difficulties. But in this session, we're not talking about how to help Christians who are unmarried to refrain from marrying an unbeliever. We're talking about how to help Christians who are already married to unbelievers as far as handling the situation. For them, our job is to help them to know how to follow the instructions of 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 14 to live with them. It's our job to help them to be able to handle this obviously unequal yoke situation God's way. However, there is a sense in which you may have an unequal yoke situation even when you have two Christians who are married to each other. Some Christians who are married to non-Christians may think that if I were only married to another Christian, everything would be terrific. But this is not necessarily the case. I've been involved in counseling for at least 40 years. And during that time, I've counseled hundreds of couples who are having problems in their relationships. Some of them involve the unequal yoke situation, but most of them involve two Christians who were having serious problems in their relationship. Now, in terms of the unequal yoke situation, you have the Christian concept of an unequal yoke. You have two professing Christians. Both of them have professed faith. But in terms of their understanding of what it means to be committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and how that works out in their lives, they have different ideas. In terms of what they understand the biblical order of marriage to be, both of them may even say they believe the husband should be the head of the wife and the wife should be in submission, but their understanding of what that means is considerably different. And they have different ideas about how to solve problems as well. So they're two Christians, but in a sense, they are unequally yoked. Now, sometimes the unequal yoke situation may appear when the husband and wife hold very different doctrinal positions. He's a Calvinist, she's an Arminian. He is a Baptist, she's a pedo-Baptist. I worked with a couple where he had a particular perspective on the filling of the Holy Spirit, and she didn't. And he was trying to force her into his position. Sometimes the unequal yoke involves a different understanding of priorities. What is most important? The job? Working at the church? Spending time with the family? Whatever. Different